And the pair are due to go head-to-head again in just over 2 weeks' time. But US correspondent Simon Marks told me he doubts that'll go ahead.
I think it was like a barnyard brawl, wasn't it, really? I mean, we've never seen anything like that at all play out here in the modern presidential or political era in the United States. From the moment it began until the moment it ended, it was the most dyspeptic and embarrassing display of presidential politics that anyone here has ever seen. There's never been a debate like it in which a president of the United States, Donald Trump, continued ceaselessly and relentlessly to interrupt, talk over his rival, refused to let his rival Joe Biden get a word in edgeways. And when Joe Biden did get a word in edgeways, Donald Trump would often grab onto the tail end of what he was saying and deflect it and turn it around and talk about something else. The moderator of the debate, Chris Wallace of the Fox News Channel, is being widely criticized for his handling of the debate. But honestly, how could anyone possibly have controlled that? I mean, it was utterly out of control and rudderless from the moment it began until the moment it ended. And I think you've got to ask yourself if there's really going to be a second debate in just over a week's time. Are they really going to show up and do this all over again? It felt very much like it was a unique moment. And I wonder if behind the scenes of the Biden campaign, people are saying to themselves, you know, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, might have been right when she said all those weeks ago that Joe Biden shouldn't be debating Donald Trump because it just amplifies the bullying tactics and the irresponsible messaging that Donald Trump puts into the public domain.
At the same time, Simon, Joe Biden referred to the president as a liar, a clown and a fool, all of which is pretty cutting stuff. So did Biden go low?
Well, he called him a racist. He called him the worst president in American history. And as you say, he called him a clown. At one point, he turned to him and said, why won't you, you know, would you please shut up? Would you stop your yapping? And you're right. I mean, Michelle Obama's maxim has always been when they go low, we go high. I mean, there were moments when I thought Joe Biden might be thinking of quitting the stage. There were a couple of points early on in the debate where he really struggled, particularly when Donald Trump was launching relentless attacks against his son Hunter Biden over his business deals in China and Ukraine. And you could see the ire rising within Joe Biden. And there were moments when you thought maybe he's going to walk off the stage and throw in the towel. I mean, at the end of the day, the overriding sort of viewpoint of the Washington establishment is that Donald Trump's behavior was so boorish and so bullying and so unpleasant that he lost the debate and Joe Biden won it. But in an environment where only 6% of voters were telling CBS today that their minds were up for grabs as a result of this debate, you know, 94% of likely voters say their minds were already made up. It's very hard to see how this changed a single opinion.
So in terms of Donald Trump, you've mentioned his constant interrupting. What were his triumphs, if any, during this 90-minute debate?
Well, triumphs might be slightly overstating it, but I think he gave a very vigorous defence of his handling, interestingly, of COVID-19. I mean, going into this debate, you would think that COVID-19 would be an incredibly weak spot for him, but partly through the sheer force of personality and partly by calling into account Joe Biden's own record dealing with swine flu, H1N1, when Joe Biden was vice president of the United States, I think Donald Trump definitely gave as much as he got. Perhaps Donald Trump was lucky that Joe Biden didn't give him more on that. I think there was also a pretty vigorous conversation about the future of the American economy, definitely something Donald Trump considered his strong suit. And again, I think he acquitted himself relatively well in that particular exchange. But there were other elements of the president's performance for which this debate will ultimately be remembered, particularly when he was challenged pledge to disavow white supremacists, and far from disavowing them, he appeared to activate particularly a fascist group here known as the Proud Boys. He told them to stand down and stand by to deal with further violence on the streets of American cities. I mean, that's a jaw-dropping moment. A president of the United States telling a heavily armed, militarized, right-wing vigilante group to stand by to intervene on the streets of America's cities if violence continues to take place there. I mean, for that reason and for many others, this entire 90-minute transmission was a very clear example of just how far the United States has slipped from its moorings over the course of the last 4 years.
You mentioned Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son there, who repeatedly came up during the course of this debate, Donald Trump referencing alleged payments from various political players. How did Joe Biden handle that?
Well, he simply flatly denied everything, said it wasn't true, this is absolutely, this didn't happen. You know, there's two elements to the Hunter Biden story. I mean, the first element is Hunter Biden's behaviour, and it is broadly accepted here that Hunter Biden did indeed manage to secure relatively lucrative financial contracts from businesses in Ukraine and China, where he was playing off the fact that his father at the time was vice president of the United States. I mean, some of that is undeniable, and indeed Democrats privately will tell you that Hunter Biden's been a problem in that regard for Joe Biden, and was a problem even when Joe Biden was president of the United States. But the other aspect to it that is entirely unsubstantiated, and indeed a Senate committee earlier this week found no evidence to support the notion that Joe Biden was involved in that in any way. So this is a sticky area for Joe Biden. It's not something he wants to talk about. And at one stage during the course of this debate, he tried to deflect it and turned to Donald Trump and said, "You want to talk about families? You really want me to talk about your family and all the things they've been up to since you became president of the United States?" And then the Democratic candidate looked at the camera and said, "You know what? I think the people at home want us to talk about their families," which kind of got him and the conversation generally out of what had become a deeply unpleasant thicket for everybody.
Did Joe Biden really land any punches?
Well, I think that's a very interesting question. I mean, I think he landed a couple. I think the moderator, Chris Wallace, made one huge contribution to the debate in that he managed to get Donald Trump to concede that human behavior may play a role in climate change. I think that there were points where Joe Biden was effective, particularly when he hit out at President Trump for failing to do more about white supremacists in Charlottesville. I think when Donald Trump was on the ropes over the Breonna Taylor case in Louisville, Kentucky, and Joe Biden argued that there were systemic injustices in the United States and that all people in the United States did not feel that they were receiving equal protection under the law. But this is not going to be remembered as an event for any of that. It's going to be remembered for Joe Biden saying, "It's hard to get a word in with this clown. I mean this person." It will be remembered for Joe Biden turning to Donald Trump and saying, "Will you please shut up?" You know, it was very, very uncivilized, and in no sense did this provide young Americans who may have been watching with any kind of civics lesson that would have made them particularly proud about the state of American democracy. And that, I think, ultimately is what this debate is going to be remembered for.
While there has been a lot of criticism of Trump, is though that kind of language, those kind of insults directed at a sitting president, is that very presidential either?
No, it's not presidential either. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, again, the Michelle Obama maxim of when they go low, we go high was not observed by Joe Biden for substantial portions of this debate. There were also portions of the debate, particularly early on, where Donald Trump would say things and Joe Biden would smile or would laugh. And I'm not sure that that was particularly impactful, given that at the time, you know, the conversation was about relatively serious issues like healthcare in the United States. And and COVID-19. So I don't think that either of these men emerged with a great deal of credit from this debate. I think Donald Trump's behaviour was so boorish and so aggressive that at the end of the day, that probably turned more people off than Joe Biden's behaviour turned people off. But again, look, these debates are about only one thing at the end of the day. I mean, we love to pick over the zingers and the gaffes and, you know, who said who insulted whom more. At the end of the day, these debates play one role here. At this stage of the election, these candidates need to persuade undecided voters to come and support them. And it's very hard to see how this debate meaningfully brought any voters to Donald Trump's side of the aisle. And if they did bring some voters to Joe Biden's side of the aisle, it won't be many of them. This race hasn't shifted. The contours of this election haven't changed in 12 weeks. And I'm not sure that Donald Trump did anything to shift opinion in his direction tonight, which means that one still has to look on Joe Biden as the favorite to win this race because he will continue to enjoy an advantage over Donald Trump in the polls.
And that was our US correspondent, Simon Marks.